bless you, saints. I trust you all keeping well. And no, you're not seeing things. Today, the pastor was able to turn me down. Brother Neil, can you turn that down a little bit? It's a bit loud for me. So, definitely, I need your prayers. Because I'll say what my pastor said. Last week, he said that no matter how many times he stands before the children of God, he always feels nervous. Amen. You know? So you can imagine a man with so much experience, all of us, we're always blessed by what he brings to us. And he feels nervous. So you can imagine where I feel. You know? Yeah, it's not easy. I know that there's for others maybe it's not as hard, but for me this is not my comfort zone, you know. And if there's a time that I miss Brother Wilmo and Brother Maxwell is today, you know. I really wish they would be here, so because I really am blessed by all the brethren, and I like to sit over there in my corner and perform those deacon duties which are needed there. But saints, the Lord knows all things. And there was a time where he used even a donkey to speak to a stubborn prophet. So I'm just trusting by his grace, perhaps he can help me to, if I read the scripture, that should be good enough for us. Because like the prophet said, if you read the word and you don't see Jesus, you need to pray and read it again. So whatever I say, well, that's that. But I'll read the scripture and that should be good enough for us all. Yeah, without taking too much more of your time, this could be the shortest Sunday school which you had, but the longest one for me. So you might get a quiet time before the song worship. So may the Lord help us. I'll offer a word of prayer before we read the word. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, I just humble myself together with my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Father, so thankful to be in your house. Lord, you've always blessed us in this place. You've met our needs. Father, once again, we need you. Lord, I need you even now. Father, please be merciful. Bless the pages of the word. Anyone can read your word, Lord, but it takes you. You're the one that comes and you put the blessing upon it, Lord. Father, so please take control. Be merciful now. Lord, at a time like this, we think of our brothers, Brother Maxwell, who's not well. Father, please give him a speedy recovery, Lord. Bring him back into thine house. Brother Wilmo, who's away, be merciful to him. We pray, Lord, how much we miss him. Father, we trust that you are with him there where he is. Lord, your children still on the way, undertake for them. Grant them grace. Grant them mercies, Lord, we pray. Bring them safely into your house, Lord. As we ask all these things in the precious, glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. 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 Sorry. Excuse me. I need to get something. Sorry about that. I have an alarm on my phone for 10 minutes. So may the Lord help us. Amen. So today, just to, as a way of reading a scripture, taking a small thought, we'll read from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. I was blessed some time listening. Brother George shared a message with me. One brother was speaking about the principles of faith, but something stuck with me on that. So when the pastor asked if we could stand in the gap, maybe we'll try and put together a small thought. So we'll read Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We'll start with verse 9. And we'll read up to 13. So if the brother can keep going, unless if I ask to stop. So after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So you may be seated there, saints. So the subject we'll speak about for a few minutes, like we said, is on forgiveness. Forgiveness is something which we all know. It's common to us all. But just to try to take a thought from that. So verse 12, it says, if you can put up verse 12 for me again, brother, please. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the Lord Jesus there is speaking to us, you know, in his prayer and that, and he brings up that one, that forgive us our debts as we forgive, you know, our debtors. And like we're saying, we all know about forgiveness, or many times we take it just commonly or for granted as such. But when you think about it, that the Lord would put in his prayer that forgive us those that do wrong against us, you know, because it's important to him, because there's nothing which the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't be light with his words, you know. And as I was meditating on it, I said, I'll just do a random Google search and see what do they say. And I'll read something which the psychologists say, of all things, too. But just, I found it interesting. And I'm reading as it's written. Psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release vengeance toward a person or a group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve forgiveness. And I thought it was quite striking, because if people who don't have the Spirit of God guiding them, but they're able to see that in whatever way they did it, that forgiveness, it's something which is deliberate. It's something which it's in your power. We as believers, we know that the difference between us and other animal life is that we have a soul and that we have free moral agency. We are able to choose. I can choose what to hold on to and what I want to release. You see? And the word of God, like Jesus said, he said, forgive us, those, I'm paraphrasing, those that have done wrong to us. Yeah? And then you see what the science world say. They say it's a deliberate act. So you see someone has wronged you. You're not wrong. Yeah? Sorry. They have wronged you. But you, because of Christ inside of you, like Pastor was saying the other day during the baptism, of a Christ-centered life, because Christ is dwelling inside of you, because you say that you're born again, you say you have the new birth within you, because of that, that Spirit which dwells inside of you is the one which pushes us. Amen. To say, forgive that person. Even though they didn't ask you for forgiveness, even though you could be just sitting, minding your own business, and someone, for whatever reason, they have something against you. It could be a rumor. It could be something they do physically. But Jesus, in his prayer, he says that we must forgive. And it's something which we do well if we take time to think about it, to meditate on that word. That what does it really mean to me? And to show the importance of it, Jesus speaks of it again. I don't know, brother, if you can get us Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. So verse 14 says, and this is the only of his prayer, this part is the only one which he repeats again. of all the other things. He said, thy kingdom come, and all. The only one he repeats again, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Amen.
Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So we see that it's something which the Lord, he found it, that it's very important. Because forgiveness, it unlocks a lot, you know. We know it's many a time the prayer, the pastor, and many of the saints who have stood before us, we know from listening to the messages that the Lord works on certain principles. There's ways in which he works. It's not just random, you know. And forgiveness, it has a lot to it, you know, because the Lord can't dwell in an unforgiving heart. You know, he can't do it. So the minute that we hold on to something, straight away, we pushing the Lord out from our heart. You know, and I'm sure all of us, our heart's desire is that the Lord be Lord and King of our heart. That he takes full ownership of our heart. But he can't do it, you know, if we don't have forgiveness in our heart. Now, many times we do say, look, I'm not speaking about any particular situation. It just touched me in that way. And perhaps I'm preaching to myself, you know, because I've been in those situations. Even not long ago, I won't go into the detail of it, but I did mention once before, I can't remember if it was a testimony or something like that, but a close family relative of mine, it's for reasons I won't go into, it'll take too long, but he and his wife they took issue against myself and my family and, you know, how these things work. They would have said a lot of things. So me feeling that, no, those people there, I did no wrong to these people. Yeah? So, saints, I went almost to the place where I was almost cursing the people. Not with my mouth, but in my heart. Because I was feeling justified. You see, that, listen, they did wrong to me. I didn't do anything wrong. The people, and what makes it worse, that it goes in the realm where the devil likes to play. Because it works on your emotions. You're trying to live a sincere life. You're trying your best with your ups and downs to be upright before God. And what happens, maybe you, like in my case, I mean, how do you feel if the people accuse you that you're a witch? You know, of all things. You know what I mean? Someone say that you're a witch. They say, him and his wife, they witches. Yeah, the other one said that one of my relatives, she had a miscarriage and said that we ate her child. You know, ridiculous things. However, when you're hearing these things, you're feeling justified within yourself. Yeah? And I'll be honest, in my heart, you'll be saying, I know the Lord is going to deal with these people. You know? Yeah? But when people would come to me and say, look, just forgive them, you see, you'd say, they don't understand what was said against me. Imagine that, you know. Then you change. You say, hey, the word says that I should forgive. So let me forgive. But the forgiveness was just with my mouth. In my heart, because when where you'd know that you have a problem is when the person's name is mentioned, you feel something stirring up inside your heart. You see? So, and looking for that day of vengeance. But by the grace of God, I thank the Lord that he spoke to me in three ways. The one way was we're out in Wicklow, And Brother Barry Coffey was there. And the brother didn't move or forgiveness. So it led me to question that, did I really forgive? You see? And I seen it there. No, I hadn't. I hadn't forgiven. And we were camped out there. And the next day, I got a call from another relative of mine. She's in the Pentecostal church. She rings me, actually, during the service. I rang her afterwards, and I rang her back after the service. And she said, the Lord told me to tell you, you need to forgive these people. Amen. Hey. I said, no, what's going on here? You know? But it led me to search myself deeper, because although with my mouth, it's Brother Tony, Brother George, some of the people know the issues. And I would say, no, man, I've forgiven them. I have no issue with these people. But yet in the heart, it was still there. And we know that God, he wants us to worship him from the heart. Because he says, if your heart condemns you not. You see, but the devil takes advantage of that situation, because like we're saying that God works on principles. So as long as you have unforgiveness in your heart, he's holding you back. God can't deal with you further. He's holding you back from blessings. Healing is linked as well to forgiveness. All those things. You see? And that's where the devil had me. And the last thing that got me to realize that, I don't know if I was with someone, but we're traveling into Dublin from Wicklow the same weekend. And Sister Maliko needed a lift to the airport. And we're driving on the M50. And I see a truck of my relative that they work for. And I looked at it. And the same time, the sister says, by the way, how's your relative? She knows my relative here. So I said, I don't know. I haven't spoken to the person for about 4 years. So he said, brother, you have to forgive. Without even knowing this, I said, but why are you saying that? I have to forgive. What did I do, you know? But that really, it struck me then that I knew that from my heart, I hadn't forgiven. Even though with my lips, I was professing that I had forgiven. But from my heart, I hadn't. I wanted to be justified. You see, I wanted to be justified because I felt that they had done me wrong, you know. But the Lord doesn't work like that, because when you bring it back to the word, he forgave me when I was still his enemy. Yes, for us to be seated here, that's the grace of God. Amen. It's his forgiving heart. You know, he loved us and he forgave us. So that there be no restriction, there be no hindrance between him and us. So what more does he expect of us who claim to be his sons and his daughters? But I'll just take, sorry about that, I went off track just a little bit. But just to show maybe one or two examples before we close. Sorry about, I may make my confession, I thought it was going to be very short. But here I find myself out of time. Maybe if we turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Just to show that forgiveness is linked to many things. Mark chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 5, or if the brother can put it up. Thank you, brother. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. So four of them were carrying this man. They let him in through the roof. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So imagine this man, he's sick. Yeah, he's always brought in, as we've seen, that they couldn't bring, he couldn't walk in himself. They dug a hole through the roof, lay the man down. But what's the first thing that Jesus said? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Amen. So without that forgiveness of sin, that man could not be healed. Amen. And that's what the devil would want us to hold on to, unforgiveness. So that we, all of us, have needs, one need or the other. If we don't have a personal need ourselves, we could have a need for a loved one, someone who's not sick, someone has a financial need, whatever it is. But without forgiveness, God can't deal with us. Yeah, because the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in his prayer, in the Lord's prayer, he asked it twice. He said, if you don't forgive your brother, your heavenly Father as well, he won't forgive you. So it behooves us to line up with the word, because we can't pick and choose which part of the word we want to hold on to. We can't. We love all of the word, because the scripture tells us that, and I believe we all believe that, that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. God's commandments do not grieve us. You know, we love the Lord. So may that be our meditation, because even here we've seen that it was healing. And even faith is linked as well to forgiveness. We'll see another example as we draw to a close. If the brother could get us Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It reads, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, thank you, brother. Just hold 24. In 23 there, Jesus is saying, whatsoever thing you ask, if you hold it in your heart, if you believe and you don't doubt, you'll have it. Amen. So, but there's conditions with that. We know that. Your heart has to be right. Because if your heart is not right, then you can't believe with all your heart. Because we do know that, like now, consciously we can see one another and hear from one another. But there's another man that dwells inside here, in that subconscious. That's the real me and the real you. So even like I was giving that example in my case, that with my mouth I profess that I'd forgiven. But the man in the background, he knew that, no, I'm waiting for my day when I'll see God's hand on those people. Imagine that. Me claiming to be a son and daughter of God. Then, because if I wanted my vengeance, then I want the wrath of God on someone. You know, like it's not right. It doesn't matter what the person did. Because forgiveness is not conditional. We've seen science said it. It's not conditional. It doesn't matter whether the person did something or didn't do something to you. That shouldn't be a condition of forgiveness. Not for us anyway. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, for us, he just forgave us without us even asking him to. And we claiming to be sons and daughters, that's the same which he'd expect of us. If we read 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall receive them. 25. Look at this, how it's linked to faith. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Yeah. If you have ought means anything, against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. So imagine the Lord is explaining to his disciples, because he cursed that fig tree. And he's telling them that if you ask and you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you ask for. But at the end of it, he says, and when you pray, standing, that you must forgive. Imagine. So forgiveness is linked directly to faith. You can't have perfect faith without forgiveness. It's not possible. Because we know that the Lord, he works with principles. And that's one of the conditions of it. I'll just read here a small quotation from one of the messages. Whew, thank you. Expectations, 1954. And this is where we all know the story of that Sunday school teacher who her husband had gone out to war, and she became lonely and so forth and was unfaithful to her marriage vows. And here she comes to the prophet for healing because she has tried psychologists that pumped so much money. She's just nervous. She's just all kinds, but no solution. She has seen through the ministry of the prophet that the dead were raised, the lame people, it's all sorts. So she knew that God was with this man, and she has a need. So she's come to the right place. We'll just read as fast as we can. It says, so I left out a lot, but Brother Branham says, and I said, well, that's up to them. I don't know. But I said, you never know, no matter how much you scream, how loud you scream, how much you pray, that devil's got a legal right to stay right there. And he will stay there too. That's right. He's got a right to stay there. Not only that, but if you're supposed to, have done something and you didn't, he has a legal right of disobedience. So there's where it is, you know. So the prophet is saying that, because she came to him, the Lord showed him the vision, and he says to her sister, "You need to fix that." She say, "But I confessed it to God." I say, "Yeah, but you did wrong to your husband. You need to go make it right." And this is where the conversation is. And she say, "No, it'll break up my home. It'll cost me too much." So the prophet is explaining to her that because of the laws of disobedience, so in the spiritual realm, that devil knows that because of disobedience of this person, because she doesn't want to fix up her life, it has the right and authority to stay right there. He said, even if we scream, if we shout, if we pour buckets of anointing oil, it will not move because it knows its rights. So what was it? She had to fix that situation. You see? And that's why the Lord Jesus, many a time in some of the scriptures that we've read, is showing us that we have to forgive. We have to forgive. And forgiveness is not just a speech. Forgiveness is an action. Yeah, it's an action. You have to actively forgive. Unreservedly. Lest the devil, he holds that against. We allow demons inside of our life. That you won't move. The pastor will pray for us. Brethren will pray for us. It will not move.
Yes, sir.
Until we fix that thing. So may the Lord help us. Thank you for your patience, saints. My words were mumbled up, but thank you so much. We'll say a word of prayer, and then, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord. Thank you for being here today.
Amen.
Father, we want to commit the service into your hands. Please, may you continue to guide and lead. Father, we ask for your blessing on the musicians, the song leader, Lord. Father, use them, grant them grace and mercies to lay themselves aside so that you can use them, Lord. Father, any specials or items which will be given, let them be given in your spirit, that it will minister a blessing to the body, Lord. Father, we pray even for our pastor once again. Use him, Lord. Father, be merciful to us, Lord. Even once again, we think of Brother Max, where he is. We know where his heart is, Lord. He desired to be here with us. Please be merciful to him. Please undertake, Lord. Father God, we commit this time to you, thanking you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, even if we've said something which might offend someone, Lord, you know that's not our intention, Lord. Father, if we did or said anything which was wrong, please forgive us, Lord. Grant us grace, grant us mercies, Lord, as we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.